Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, the NFL's new kickoff rules will certainly create some additional excitement, some scoring opportunities when playmakers get their hands on the pigskin, which apparently has the Steelers thinking, boop, outside the box, headline, check it. Jaylen Warren, Steelers running back here, guys, revealing that Pittsburgh special teams coordinator Danny Smith has discussed the possibility of putting quarterback Justin Fields on special teams to return kicks. So this coming from a live recording of Cam Hayward's Not Just Football podcast from the Steelers draft party over the weekend. But this is football. So go, Joe. Yay or nay? Come on. You putting Justin Fields back there to return kicks? I am. And I'm a coaching minor.
People forget that about Emerson. He's got a background in this stuff and needs to be taken seriously with his opinion here. Dad, I can tell you one thing for certain. Danny Smith, who is among the more creative special teams coaches in the NFL, yeah. I'd have to imagine was pissed that this got talked about publicly here. Because the one thing special teams coaches love is the element of surprise. And now that is all gone here. So I know you have a lot of strong feelings about this. I actually kind of look at this and go, this is the kind of tinkering that should all be on the table with the new NFL kickoff rules. It is an entirely different format that's going to give way to, I think, a lot of creativity in this particular area while people are figuring out the best way to do this amongst the new rules. From what they've heard, I've heard Sam Schwartzstein, who helped invent this at the XFL, talking about the different iterations and things that people have done in the past. And with Justin's unique skill set back there and some of the things you could do, I'm not saying you'd major in it, but it would be a really interesting off-speed pitch at certain junctures in the game if you had a guy with his athletic profile back there.
No, it wouldn't. No. No, Danny Smith is an innovative special team coach. I don't think he'd get the complete sentence out to Mike Tomlin before Mike Tomlin would and should shut this down. I get the kickoff rules are different. I get it's not going to be full speed contact. Every backup is one play away from playing. The quarterback position is the most important position on the field. You are one play away from Justin Fields being your quarterback. Why would you put him in a position to not be one play away because he's injured? Why would you do that? You brought in Cordarrelle Patterson, who can do this. Now, again, he's 33 years old. Velus Jones Jr. returned 16 kickoffs last year and averaged 27 yards per kickoff return. There is zero, I mean zero need to put Justin Fields back there to return a kick. Nothing. You could not talk me into it at all to put him in harm's way, even though it's not the full-speed kickoff running down to the kickoff team we normally got. There is no chance, especially when you have others who are more than capable to do this on your team.
Trick plays, all these different wrinkles that you can do off of this now with Justin Fields potentially. I mean, there are some people that thought you might have some bigger bodies back on this kickoff return group and essentially turn it in. Like, you could run almost like offensive line style plays to try and free guys up back there. And who better to orchestrate that than a guy with quarterback experience?
Listen, yeah. While I agree, there will be some things tried. Just like when, you know, kickoffs were going out of the end zone, that the league actually wanted no kickoff returns to not have the injuries, you knew somebody was going to do something. And it was Bill Belichick, who was almost doing like coffin corner style kickoffs, high kickoffs to like the 2 yard line to a couple of years ago to make the returners return and get that tackle before the 20 or the 25 yard line. So there will be some innovative things done here. I agree with that. But to put your backup quarterback, who, again, is one play away from leading your team in any more harm's way, makes zero sense to me when you have others on the field that can do this job better than he can. So there is no way I would even have a thought process about this.
I mean, I think it already says a lot, the fact that this conversation got had, which, like, I mean, I'm sure Danny didn't bring that up without Mike Tomlin at least knowing about it. So I think they're thinking creatively about the new problem that's in front of them. I tend to agree with you that they're probably not going to put a quarterback who could be their starter at some point this season in harm's way on this play unless they absolutely have to. Do I think there could be some wrinkles where in certain situations late in the game when you need something to happen and need a play, hey, if your backup quarterback's the guy that can help you win the game in that way, there might be something to it. Do I think they're going to major in this or that it's really going to happen all that much? No, probably not. This is probably an idea that you talk about during the offseason program and try and flesh out and see if you can make something happen with it here. I do think, Dad, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to – well, where were you going next? I was looking – they didn't pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option, and I was surprised – were you surprised that they didn't pick up the fifth-year option of Najee Harris?
Not as much, considering what Jalen Warren's become for that team. Yep. Like, you kind of watch the games, and Jalen Warren looks like the dude, and you got him as an undrafted free agent to supplement that backfield, and so – Najee Harris has been was a player I loved coming out of college. He was very productive last year, but ultimately it hasn't looked like, oh yeah, the first round running back that absolutely went out there and balled out and maxed out that contract that you'd want to sign to another big one, or at least that control. If he goes out there and has another great year, then maybe we're talking about something different. But I wasn't as surprised by that portion of things just because of how well Jalen Warren's come along and how great he's looked in that backfield alongside him.
Nice PPR
machine.
I do think
that one interesting thing with this team was the quote that came out of this too. Jalen Warren said, when asked about having Fields and Russell Wilson in the building, said, quote, "It's a night and day difference with their leadership. They bring a lot. They help out. They tell us how to run the route. They're really on it when you don't run it a certain way. They're big on details, kind of what we preach, and it helps a lot." I thought that was a quote that said a lot about some of the guys, including Kenny Pickett, that just walked out of the door.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and what they were getting out of those guys, too. Again, it's one thing with Russell Wilson, who has been around for a long time, though there have been some not too pleasant things said from his former teammates about his leadership skills at times. And then Justin Fields is still a young player to be given that kind of boost already on how he's acting. He's still, Mike, Russell Wilson's coming to the end of his career. I am still very intrigued. I was a Justin Fields fan coming out of college, and I still am excited to see what he is eventually going to do when he gets another chance, because right now he's just another one of the more than a few over the last 3-4 years of first-round quarterbacks who are on their second and some are on their third team as backup quarterbacks.
Yep, but starting experience and Justin's kind of athletic profile, I think is going to make him valuable no matter what happens this season. Even if he's the backup for the entire season, I think having a player with his experience in the NFL still going to be valuable there. The fifth-year option that they turned down for him, Dad, would have been a fully guaranteed year at $25 million.
Yeah.
Najee Harris, a lot different. Would have been about $6.7 million for his option there. But again, knowing what the running back market looks like, knowing that Najee Harris wasn't going to be in a position to command the way that we saw, you know, Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley or some of the top end of this last year's running back class in a year where they got multi-year deals that were really only a little bit above the average that they would have gotten on the franchise tag financially, I guess in this instance, knowing, hey, even if Najee balls out this year, we're probably not talking about a deal in that range, that bringing him back on this option, that level of control didn't seem to make as much sense for them.
And maybe, too, you want to see what's going to happen in the new offense, right, on the offensive side with Arthur Smith, how these players are going to fit in to his system going forward. So there was no need to guarantee some of these guys any of that money.
Nope, and for Najee Harris, he had been a workhorse since he'd come into the league, but last year, the fewest snaps he had played in 2023, 53% of the snaps, had a great season, was averaging over 4 yards a carry, but clearly it's become a timeshare in that backfield, and I think it's one the Steelers feel pretty confident about with Jaylen Warren at the helm on that. I want to get into something else because we've seen a bunch of really good NFL sound from some young players over recent weeks. Keon Coleman is still going strong. Did you guys see the Buffalo Bills release their their combine interview with Keon Coleman, where he was talking about, in addition, so he went out and did it was their combine interview with Keon Coleman, and they're in the room, and he was talking through all of this great stuff about how, you know, when he was at Michigan State, really started to become a film junkie, started asking quarterbacks about what they wanted out of guys from his routes. He said he was starting to pay attention and learn what the offensive line did so he would understand the timing of plays better, where he needed to be available for his quarterbacks. And then they asked him, well, what do you do away from the field? Said, I chill at the house and I play golf. And he's like, he goes, his line. And I think this might be, and someone pointed this out, the best joke about Tiger Woods I've ever heard, which is, I'm Tiger wish he could, not Tiger Woods, when it comes to playing golf, and had them eating out of the palm of his hands. And it made me think, how did we have this dude on one of the best teams in college football last year and know nothing about this? In this day and age where we talk about player-led media, Dad, I complained that players still aren't having their stories told as much or their voices heard as much when it was relative to Colorado and what was going on there. Florida State, I need answers. I like the people and the SIDs over at Florida State, but how are we not getting this guy more often on the national stage? He's been electric ever since he landed in Buffalo.
Well, a lot of players are putting content out themselves, and if they don't, then it's up to the team, social media team, to go ahead and do that when they get good answers. So that's where I would look. If Keon isn't putting this out himself, then that's got to be the others, you know, the people who are running that. Running that social media on the team to not get that out there. Because I'm with you. Dude is very, very entertaining. No doubt about it.
It's been amazing to me to watch this all happen for Keon Coleman. So he's been great. I hope the Bills never stop posting Keontae Coleman content. It's been awesome. But the other thing that's enamored me, Emerson, is what we've seen. The pairing of C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons, who have been out with the NFL abroad teaching football, and there's been little bits coming out with them all along the way that have been incredible.
Yeah, these two are absolute content machines. And their latest round of comments being about how much they think they could score in an NBA game. Gojo, listen to this.
How much would each you guys score in an NBA game?
I'm averaging 20.
I would say I would be lucky to hit a three or two.
I'm realistic,
he calls himself
fam.
A shooter?
He's a cowboy. He's naturally doing it.
All right, Stroud here. Stroud may have won the battle of words, but I think Parsons is on to something here because he scored 37 points in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game this year, okay? And on the opposing team was Stroud. And Stroud's no schmuck. He dropped 31 points. So we're obviously comparing apples to oranges here, but apples and oranges have a lot more in common than most people realize.
This is, come on.
What?
Come on. It's one thing if Micah Parsons said, I think in a game, I might be able to put up 20. If you played 82 games, maybe had that one game where everything was falling, you could, I still wouldn't believe it. I still, there's no way I would believe it. But he said he would average 20 points a game. Mike, this has been the great debate. You know it in every locker room you've been in, that I've been in. Football players who, most of them, just about all of them, maybe except for the linemen, except for the tall ones, who wrestled or ran track through the shot of the disc. A lot of people play basketball. And you've always said, and I agree, one of the great things at the Pro Bowl, because no, you don't want to play the game anymore, is to get a five-on-five or two teams against one another, AFC, NFC, basketball-wise, because these guys, A, can hoop pretty well, and B, think they can hoop way better than they really can hoop. But because that's always been a question to me. Would an NBA player do better, the best basketball-playing NBA player do better in the NBA, or the best football-playing basketball player do better going to the NFL? And I think the basketball players are the better athletes, so I think it would be them going to the NFL. But Micah Parsons averaging 20, I love his confidence, but there is no way on God's green earth that's happening.
So, Gojo, I just went to NBA.com looking at the stats leaders here from the regular season. You have 38 players who averaged at least 20 points a game in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. And, Dad, to your notion about who can make the switch better, I don't even think it's the athlete thing as much. Like, I think the NFL athletes are really good, and quite honestly, I think some of the athletes along the lines of scrimmage are better athletes than certain players in the NBA. But it's a lot more siloed in the NFL. You can give them one specific job that doesn't have them doing things that are completely unnatural to them. In the NBA, there's only so many places that you can hide someone, especially when they're that far behind technically their peers. So I'm with you on that. Basketball to football, we've seen it. It's been the answer. We've seen that actually happen. Yeah. Yes. There's practical application of it here. The thing that's enamored me about all this is, so C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons are over in China doing a football camp right now through the NFL. They were part of a Bleacher Report draft show. I think it was them and Adam Lefko, and they were putting out a bunch of stuff there that included C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons building their dream lineup of players from the current NFL, and C.J. Stroud walking people through, hey, if they've got one third down together, this is the play that I'm calling here. Everything we see, going back to the draft where I saw him walking through a play of his with Nate Tice over at The Athletic, everything I see and hear from C.J. Stroud makes me firmly believe that I was wrong and that he should have been the number one overall pick, and you were absolutely right just with what we've seen under the hood from him. You combine that with what's on the field, though, Dad, and this is a player, this is not a hot take by any means considering what we saw from him last year, but like the NFL right now belongs to Patrick Mahomes. Below Patrick Mahomes, it's kind of largely accepted that I think the next rung of quarterbacks would be Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow when he's healthy. It seems like it's not going to take long into this season for C.J. Stroud to probably join that second group of quarterbacks, because from every player we've talked to who plays around C.J. Stroud, from everything we've seen and heard, from what we've seen practically on the field from him, this is a guy who has the mental makeup and certainly the physical tools to go out and deliver as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL sooner than later, and it's already been sooner.
Listen, I'm with you. You look at the quarterback rating last year, he was six, but you got to throw out guys that were ahead of him, like Kirk Cousins, who only played eight games. Number one was Mason Rudolph, but he only played four games. So take those two out. He was a top four quarterback in rating. I mean, I love his poise. He just never, ever, ever gets flustered. And this is a team I'm really excited about and their growth. And again, it aligns perfectly with what we've seen other teams do. Quarterback on rookie wage scale, build team around him while you can. You know, that's exactly what they were able to do. It's exactly what they're doing. They're hitting on some of the draft picks, obviously, other than CJ. They're hitting on some of the free agents with this new team as well. So love what they're doing. And it seems that while it wasn't a long window open for Jacksonville, it does seem like we've switched it over to Houston with the window wide open for them in that division, taking over Jacksonville. We'll see what Trevor Lawrence can bring back as that only first-round quarterback who's still with the same team.
Yep.
But I'm going to love next year the Texans go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. So that – now, you know, these two guys are having fun doing their things together, being on pods together, but then they're going to get that on-field matchup where Mike is going to be trying to hunt down CJ the whole game.
That's scary. I don't want that guy running at me.
It's no, no one does. He's terrifying. He's a force of nature. He's going to be so, so rich soon. But I don't know, man. It's just the combination. Because like when you're building a quarterback in a lab, you want someone who's simultaneously that elite level competitor that wants to step on your neck. And CJ Stroud seems to have that in spades, but also level headed enough and certainly detail oriented enough to be able to go out and keep a calm composure and a calm demeanor in a lot of these situations. Like there's no, Dad, you know, on a sideline, how beneficial it is to have the guy that in the middle of the storm seems like he is calm and ready to go. When a like you see quarterbacks walking up to the bench all the time, and we hear it on NFL films, and it seems like nothing burger talk, but when your nerves are all fried in the middle of this situation, and you've got the guy that's the playmaker on your team, that's like the best player on your offense, and the most important because of the position he plays, coming over and being like, hey, we're good, I got this, here's what we're going to do next, it just has an immediate calming effect on everybody else to now feel like not only can they go out and just execute because of that tone that's been set, but hey, by the way, he's going to make a play. I just need to do my job. And that collective effect on the Houston offense cannot be overstated.
So last year, we thought the AFC was the deeper conference, right, with the teams that we listed off on who possibly could win it. And Houston was not in that conversation, rightfully so. New coach, new quarterback, new play caller, everything. And they have obviously won the division and won a playoff game. So right now, Mike, with obviously Kansas City being first, how far down the line you go until you get into the Texans?
I mean, it's probably Kansas City. Like, you probably give, like, I would say they'd be in the range. Because I would go Kansas City, Baltimore right after that. I think you give the Cincinnati Bengals some credit with Joe Burrow being back, but like firmly in the mix with the AFC East teams, like Buffalo might be a hedge above them, but then in that Miami range is probably where I'd have Houston. I'd feel pretty comfortable with them in there.
Yeah, easily in the top five, right? Maybe three, four. It's going to be interesting,
Jags
but boy,
right ahead
just
of
like
them.
Orlando in basketball, the arrow certainly big time up on the Texans.
Growing up playing sports, I learned really quickly that how you do the little things is how you're going to do everything. That's why coaches always harped on us about having our hand behind the line on sprints or picking up our locker, because that was going to directly translate to critical moments on the field, making sure we're lined up right, taking the right steps so we can go out there and execute and win ball games. Small actions can have big benefits, just like how taking care of your gut can support your entire body's health. That's where our friends at Seed come into play. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is going to benefit your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I just got my welcome kit and started taking Seed's DSO1 myself, and I'm loving it. I love the convenience of being able to have it in the cabinet with my other supplements because you don't need to worry about refrigerating it, and I love the free travel vial that comes along with it. I'm constantly on the road, and so being able to take DSO1 with me on the go is huge for my lifestyle here. I'll tell you what else I love is the fact that it's backed by science. DSO1 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you can trust. And it's great with convenience, too. Probiotics and prebiotics work best when they're used consistently, just like any other routine health habit. And Seed's subscription service is going to easily help build DSO1 into your routine, again, with no refrigeration required. So, trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO. Welcome back to Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Emerson Lazia. And every once in a while, we get enough of a logjam on God's internet to decide to dump it out here in front of my dad. For anyone that's new around here, my father is many things, but he is not a worldly man of the internet. He's not someone that spends a lot of his time on the hell sites. And so we like to curate some of this stuff, put it in front of him, and watch him react as if we're showing a person from the 1920s a cell phone for the first time. And so, without further ado, let's get to another interesting installment of Senior versus the Internet. Ah! still think it's weird that the people that made the graphics for this just had my father murder me in cold blood
Look at this. Uncanny.
Koopa Troopa? I forget the name of those little mushroom guys. Either way, it's senior versus the internet time here. And we got a doozy today, courtesy of Emerson's home state here. Anytime the headline starts with Florida man, two things happen. One, I think of our friends over at Marty and McGee, who have really made that mainstream in a big way on ESPN radio.
Yes.
And I think of Emerson Lazia. And now we apparently get to think of time travel. So listen to this. TikToker who rents an Airbnb in Florida believes that he has a time traveler that broke onto his property. The guy rents the Airbnb, has cameras on the properties, and saw a Florida man sneaking into the premises in a shed in the backyard, and then apparently emerged days later looking considerably older. Watch him take us through this in real time.
So just a quick recap, this guy walks around my backyard, goes to my shed, opens the door, goes inside, and disappears. Called the cops came, they went in the shed twice, he wasn't in there, they looked, I looked like an insane guy, the cops were like, what is this guy smoking? And you can see he never came back until the next day, right here. Notification on my camera that there's somebody in my backyard, and this guy leaves my shed. And he looks right at the camera too. That guy left my shed. But here's the craziest part. This looks like the same guy, maybe, glasses, whatever. Let's look at the other guy. This was the other guy. He noticeably aged. Looks like the same guy, but aged. So him again, and now him. Same facial features, whiter hair. So I don't even know what to think at this point. Somebody explain this. He literally left the same shed.
Well, there we go. You know, time travel is always something that I've thought was pretty interesting going back to high school physics. But now it seems like we've got definitive proof, Dad. Where are you at on the time traveling shed man?
So first off, it reminded me of one of the great Super Bowl commercials, I think back in 2014, the Doritos time travel commercial. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about or haven't seen it, just Google Doritos time travel commercial. It's really good, where it's basically the same thing. Not the guy in the box here, but somebody else is older when he comes out. Listen, Mike, what I like to, I believe there are aliens. I believe we're not the only living things in the universe. I do believe there's aliens. I'd love to believe that there is time travel. I would love to, but in today's world of this being a TikToker and the whole idea of being on social media, right, is to get followed and have followers and do something that's going to get a lot of looks, a lot of likes, a lot of whatevers. Yeah. So for me to sit there in this day and age to think this wasn't set up or done to get the attention, it's hard for me to believe, because that's what this generation does. They're looking, they're attention seekers. So and we know that you can doctor anything you want nowadays. So I would love to believe that there was actual time travel involved, but I would say 99%, I think this is a complete setup by dude to get likes, to get looks, to get attention.
Real life Marty McFly.
Oh, wow, a lot of accusations that you're throwing at this guy.
Yes. Yeah, chill out, dude. Loosen up a little bit there, big dog.
You're right, because
your generation never looks for attention anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't say we didn't. Did I ever say
no,
that?
No, you said but this generation looks for attention, which implies that yours doesn't.
Okay, this generation has the ability or looks for more attention, okay? My God.
I can tell
I'm right. I can tell I'm right because you're getting defensive about this. Oh, your generation didn't seek out.
Come on, even this generation. Can't tell me. These are Gen Z people that live on TikTok. I don't even like them. All they do is talk mess about my generation. Believe me, I've learned more and more as I've gone along what you guys have been talking about. No, I don't believe this, but I think you're ignoring the other possibility in this, which is
what?
Underground tunnel system. This guy clearly has people going in and out of his property in some underground tunnel system.
Hold on.
Able to be discovered by the police. Emerson, you live in Florida. I'm sure
that's
stuff
what
like
I'm
this
saying,
happens all
dude,
the time with you guys.
You dig into the ground in Florida and water is there like a foot underneath you, okay? There's no underground tunnel system in the state of Florida.
That's a good point.
All right? Just want you to know that. I think the dude just has a door to Narnia. That's what he has.
See, probably. Again, I would love out- that, but you both got to believe me, right? In saying that this guy manufactured this whole thing.
No,
for
I'm not on your team. How do I know that? I'm not going to slander this man.
I don't
team,
know.
Your team is a bad team. That's a bad team to be on.
It's a bad team.
So you
team.
Believe this?
I agree with Emerson.
You believe it, Emerson.
I really want to believe it. I really want to believe there is some weird stuff.
Doesn't matter what you
want to
believe. It
okay,
doesn't matter
then, yeah,
what you want to believe.
Yeah, because I'm not going to your team.
Like I say, we're moving on. You're making this combative. You're making this
Your
vibe's really off right now, so I'm going to help you with your vibe right here and introduce you to Sketch. Now, Sketch is a Twitch streamer who streams himself playing Madden, who's become insanely popular. We've seen NFL teams emulate the content here. Everybody's all in on this right now. These are his 15 minutes of fame here. And so, Dad, here is the original Sketch What's Up Brother that has taken the internet by storm. Take a look at this.
All right, Sketch, do you need to FaceTime me again?
Yes.
Sketch, I'm on the brink of insanity. Just letting you know, I'm on the brink of insanity. We haven't even started the stream yet. Okay, I joined your, join my FaceTime, Sketch? I'm in here. All right,
what's up, brother?
No. Sketch, fix your
team. Special players. Some people take. Me, I only take. I'm the evil Salvation Army. You know that? I'm Bad Will.
Ladies, walk up to your man right now and say, what's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? Special teams, special plays, special players. Tuesday.
how do we not fear for the next generation taking over and running our country? How do we not fear when I'm gone and then your guys' generation is gone and this generation is running the country and running the world? How do we feel? Are we going to walk up to everybody and, hey, brother, whatever, special team? What kind of ridiculousness. Hey, again, well, hold on though. First off, kudos to him because people give him money to do that. So kudos to that guy. The rest of you giving him money, I don't know what to tell you, but I got nothing bad for this guy because he's doing his thing and people are paying him a boatload of money to do it. So go for it, my friend. You found your niche. Do your thing.
Oh. You could say he found his Twitch.
NFL draft, I believe, announcing the draft pick for the Houston Texans.
Yes.
As he is a diehard Texans fan.
Yeah, he just threw out a first pitch, too.
I just want to be clear, Dad.
Yeah.
The man who at one point made a majority of his living by shoving donuts into his mouth and reading sentences on air for people to call in and guess is criticizing someone else for their on-air tactics for entertainment.
Mm. Yeah, your generation, buddy.
Let me just say, I didn't get paid a separate amount for slamming donuts. He gets paid for doing different stunts. I didn't get paid for slamming donuts.
No,
if
he
I got
gets
paid
for playing like, Madden on Twitch.
Yeah.
He gets paid for playing Madden on Twitch, just like you got paid for talking about sports and shoving donuts into your gut. And he throws a finger to the sky, and he gets popped. You're jealous. That's what it sounds like. You're jealous of Sketch.
This is a bad look senior.
As I said.
As I said,
I got nothing bad to say about this guy. Do your thing. I wish I got paid what he's getting paid for shoving donuts in my mouth. I'd be 400 pounds. I am all on this dude's side. I may look a little differently at those that give him money to watch him play Madden, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Bad luck.
Get off my lawn.
2024.
Yeah, there it is.
Didn't expect this from you. Sound the trumpets, it's horse racing time. So saddle up for the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code GOLIC. Only on the DK Horse app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wager within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com. Welcome back to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Emerson Latzia here. And for more chatter, we got to get away from the bad vibes from the last segment here. We'd strayed off the beaten path a little bit too far. So here to ground us now with some excellence, former Georgia All-American punter, former NFL veteran punter, Drew Butler, kind enough to join us here on the show. Drew, good morning, man. How's it going?
Man, I'm great. Thanks so much for the invite. Happy to be on with you guys.
Now, fired up to have you here, man. We know, so we want to talk to you about a bunch of stuff, but you just got done. I'm fascinated with the NFL broadcast boot camp, current and former players who have a chance to go through with a lot of the folks over at the NFL Network and kind of learn the industry. So for people on the outside who haven't been through this, but see, you know, there's a great class picture of a lot of you guys, about 20 or so out there for this. What was that process like?
Yeah, it's an amazing workshop that the NFL puts on. I think I was just talking about officially formalized it in, I want to say, 2007. And the NFL Broadcasting Boot Camp is an application process you have to go through. You have to fill out a pretty lengthy list of what have you done, what are you interested in, do you have a reel? And funny enough, I got accepted into this program in 2020 and it got canceled because of COVID. So I've applied for the last 3 years and I haven't gotten in. And then I applied this year and I got in, and out of about 100 plus applicants, they take 20 guys, half current, half former players, and you're out at NFL Media Headquarters in Los Angeles, which is right close to you there. And it was unbelievable. Three straight days of learning from some of the best talent producers and coordinators and executive producers at a lot of these partner networks that the league works with, like Amazon, Fox, CBS, ESPN, of course, the NFL Network. And then on the last day, you get to go work. So we did studio analyst segments with a former classmate of mine, Maria Taylor. We called a game on TV. I called a game with Chris Rose, who was an awesome guy. We had a bunch of fun. Called a radio game with Ryan Ratke from Westwood One. Ryan's amazing. And then you do some podcasting stuff. So a three-day intensive workshop. You're learning from the best, and you get to work with the pros. It was really, really cool. A big honor to be a part of it, for sure.
I'll second that about Ryan Ratke. He's been my play-by-play guy. Last 2 years, we do Sunday night games for Westwood One. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He really, really is. It's interesting how this has been formalized to what it is now. I did something like this when I got out of the league in 94, much less, you know, put together than what this was, but still you go through the basics, but much different than no social media, then way different of ways you can communicate, no podcasts and all things like that. So what were your biggest takeaways from this that maybe before you went into it, you thought, okay, this is something I needed to know?
You know, fortunately for me, I've been working in broadcasting for about the last 7 years since I've been out of school. So I'm on the radio now in Atlanta. I've got my own college football podcast, Punt and Pass, which is going into its eighth season. I do a lot of TV work here in town as well. So I went in there and I just really wanted to learn. I wanted to get around some of these pros. I wanted to meet and interact with a lot of these producers and talent coordinators. And fortunately, I did get to do that. I'd never called a game before. You know, I'd tell you right now, that was a big learning curve. I really enjoyed calling a game on radio. That was a ton of fun. And then the studio work, like, that's what I really enjoy doing. I think as a punter, I can kind of bring a different perspective and drive some interesting conversations. And then you get to meet guys like Chase Daniel, Andy Dalton, quarterbacks who are obviously extremely sharp around the game of football. And they kind of steer them towards doing some film breakdowns, some X and O's stuff. And then a guy like me, you know, I'm leaning more so into those studio analyst panels with Mike Robinson, with Maurice Jones-Drew, with Christina Pink and Maria Taylor. So a lot goes into it. I have a ton of respect for the work and, of course, all the crew guys as well who do these things and get the shows on air. So it was just a blast seeing how it all works. And those offices are incredible out there in L.A.
I think one of the more difficult things for players, and you can do the boot camp and all that, but you really don't experience it until you're doing it live and saying something when you have to be critical of a former peer of yours, the first few times you do that. How difficult was that? That's where I think a lot of players have the most difficult time early on.
Yeah, you definitely have to be critical, but they always say, and they're teaching you this at the boot camp before you get these reps on camera, you know, be critical of the play, not of the player. Be critical of the play call, not of the coach. Don't make it overly personal. And obviously, a lot of these guys are still playing. You know, they're in there, they're having to critique games that they're a part of or coaches that they've played for or are playing for. So that's a big learning curve for those guys. But, you know, following the lead of some of the professionals that we were around, they make the job so easy. I mean, I've got so much respect for them, and seeing a guy like Noah Eagle. Noah was there. What's he, 26? He's like a young prodigy. He is incredible at his job. So just being able to go around those guys and kind of ride their draft, that's a lot of fun.
So wait, speaking of making it personal, while we've got you here with that special teams expertise, I want to talk about a special teams coach that you played for in Pittsburgh. Some news coming out of the South Side the other day when Jaylen Warren says, hey, this new NFL kickoff return, our special teams coordinator's talking about potentially putting Justin Fields back there. What do you hear when you see something like that? A lot of people instantly recoil, but what did you think of when you heard that first?
I think that's good media fodder. There's no chance Justin Fields is going to be back there returning kickoffs. I do like the new kickoff rule, though. Huge shout out to a buddy of mine, Sam Schwartzstein, who invented that kickoff rule in the XFL, and now the NFL has adopted it. It's a truncated version. It's obviously much safer, and it's going to be more exciting. You know, it's going to be a play within the game once again. So I'm looking forward to that. Look, if Justin Fields is back there returning kickoffs for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steelers have some serious worries. I do not think that will be happening.
Thank you. Thank you for, I said the same thing. That would be an absolute joke. What do you think of the academy in Australia now, bringing punters into college? I think Notre Dame is going to get one, and now into the NFL. Listen, I grew up and was a teammate with a guy named Jeff Fiegels forever, and he was like one of the kings of the coffin corner kick. You don't see coffin corner kicks. You see that nose down punt, and just so talk about that kind of evolution in the game.
It's incredible what Pro Kick has done in Australia to funnel these Aussie style punters to American universities. And they've got an entire academy down there, and they're picking these kids out. They see that they've got the talent, and they teach them how to kick in American football. And then obviously with their Australian style, they're able to manipulate balls in ways that American punters really never have done before. I've been to Australia. It's an amazing country. I've been to an AFL game as well. These guys grow up kicking the ball to each other like we throw the ball in America. It is all with their foot. So they're able to do things, and you're sitting there and you're just watching going, that is extremely impressive. Georgia, University of Georgia, Brett Thorson, hell, he's 25 and he's from Melbourne. And I saw him at practice a couple of weeks ago, just a fantastic guy. And he's got tons of talent. And he loves being here in America. I asked him, I said, you got a girlfriend? He's like, no, mate. I go, dude, you must be absolutely living the dream right now in Athens, Georgia. So these guys are having a ton of fun. They're very good as well. And there's a bunch of them in the NFL right now too. When I was in school, Brad Wing from LSU was really one of those first Australian punters that blew onto the scene. And of course he played in the NFL as well, but now they're littered everywhere. And it's ultimately because they have a ton of talent.
Got about a minute left here, Drew, but wanted to talk. You mentioned your time in Athens. Brock Bowers was the biggest name coming out of Georgia this year. What did you make of his landing spot with the Las Vegas Raiders and where he went there?
Yeah, a little interesting for a landing spot. Obviously, they took the best player available. I was shocked to see the Jets pass him up. I thought you put him in that offense with Aaron Rodgers coming back and the talent that they have at the skill positions. That would have been an amazing fit. You're talking about possible Pro Bowl type rookie year. But Brock Bowers is a difference maker. And Coach Saban on the draft coverage, who I thought Coach Saban did a very, very good job on his draft coverage. Yeah. He said Brock Bowers is the most NFL-ready prospect out of the entire draft. That's a guy who's seen him up close and personal. And I tend to agree. Brock is such a good player, you know, at the NFL level, getting those tight ends involved and heavily integrated into the game plan, that's a big deal. And I think Brock will certainly be able to do that. You know, as far as the Atlanta Falcons though, guys, I'm scratching my head. I have no idea why they picked Michael Penix Jr. No disrespect to Penix. He's a great player. And we just got an email. Get this, Mike. We just got an email last Friday, the morning after the draft, was the most listened to day on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta in 11 years. The fans were freaking out. The most listened to day in 11 years was last Friday, the morning after the draft. Falcons fans scratching their heads big time.
going through it. It's my favorite sport when something like that happens, to tune into the local station and just check out and listen to it all. Go absolutely crazy there. Drew mentioned it. You can listen to him on 92.9 there in Atlanta. You can obviously check out the Punt and Pass podcast as well. Drew, we'll have to get you back here again soon, man. This was awesome. We appreciate the time, brother.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the invite.
All right, time to finish off the show with this, that, and the third. Three quick stories send you off into the rest of your weekend. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating, and check us out here live Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network. The best of Gojo and Golic, wherever you hear VEASAN on the radio from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. And if you can't catch that or our great guests live anywhere, and our thanks to Corbin Blumberg joining us earlier to get us ready for some Kentucky Derby this weekend. Drew Butler, former Steelers and Cardinals punter, who was just with us in the last segment as well. You can catch that wherever you get your podcast or as soon as we get done here on YouTube. And guys, let's get to this right off the bat. Happy Miami Grand Prix weekend to all who observe. Formula One descending on South Beach again this season right now, Dad. The first Miami Grand Prix back in 2022. Max Verstappen has won this event twice right now, although a little bit of a shakeup saw for the Red Bull team here. Formula One design legend Adrian Newey leaving the team here after this season, 19-year run with the squad. And so you never know the design. I mean, Red Bull's had the best car in the sport for the last few years, but as we get some upheaval coming up here in the near future with Lewis Hamilton getting ready to head to Ferrari and all that stuff, maybe a little bit of shakeup here. Good for a sport that's watched Red Bull and Max Verstappen dominate for a while now.
The one thing, because golf, you know, the 4 days, you know, anything can happen, but we saw how much Tiger dominated. And I think if there is a person that you could bet more than this person versus the field when it was always Tiger versus the field, it's Max Verstappen versus the field. I would bet that just about. I'd bet them like I would bet Alabama, right, to always get the win. The biggest news, listen, I am into it now. I don't know how I would do at one of these events with the amount of people that are there. But the biggest news out there is where is Lewis Hamilton going to end up next year? But you know Miami can throw a party. You know it's about being seen down there, and it's going to be a big time. Always is a big party time down there.
Well, so much so that the reports are Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes will be joined by one Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, fresh off their appearance at Patrick Mahomes' charity event in Las Vegas. So it'll be interesting to see them down in the paddock there, potentially. Another space where we can see the two of them together, madly in love there. And Martin Brindle, I think that's the name of the announcer that's usually down there, will probably mistake them for somebody else along the way. So very excited to check that out. Always a spectacle. And wait and see that. Dad, let's get to that. Emerson, this seems like something that you would be into, quite honestly, here. Cosmic baseball.
Down in Florida for sure. So the Tri-City Chili Peppers, okay? Minor league baseball team from Colonial Heights, Virginia, gentlemen, will become the first to play a cosmic baseball game on June 1st. So, and the video is sick. Black lights will interact with the UV reactive equipment, including, you know, uniforms, as you see on your screen if you're watching us right now, bats, hats, balls, and produce a glowing effect for both home and away teams. Someone would drill a line drive at my face and just knock all of my teeth out, which you would see them fall out, you know, because of the black light and everything. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Generally a big fan of black light stuff. As someone that grew up in the generation with like laser tag places and all this stuff, like we're very much a generation that was raised by this like sort of like black light technology. But, Dad, I'm with Emerson. The first thing I thought is, this seems like the most dangerous way to play baseball humanly possible.
We've seen this with golf, right? Golf at night, and you have the glow-in-the-dark ball and such, and it looks like it could be fun.
It's too difficult.
This scares the hell out of me. Now, these guys have obviously are played baseball a lot in their life, so their reaction time is going to be better than ours, but they're still not used to doing this. There has to be an acclimation period, right? of trying to get used to seeing that ball come at you as a batter and then a hard hit ball coming at you as a fielder. I think it's a great idea. I would watch it. I think it's absolutely innovative and very, very cool. Boy, I just hope nobody gets smoked in this. Fans in the stands, there's going to be reactive colors in the stands. If you wear neon in the stands, it's going to react as well. They'll have special tape and paint so you can walk around and not walk into walls or anything because it's going to be dark. But it took a while. And like, what was it, $100,000 to set up these kind of lights that they needed? But I'm with both of you. I would be scared to death on if I'm a batter and then on some hard shot with the ball coming at me.
No, I'm out on it. I do miss having a black light in my bedroom, though. I had one when I was like a teenager.
Oh, God.
Well, no, that reminds me, what was the show on MTV where they would go into people's bedrooms and they would bring the black light in there, and it almost always ended the way that you expected it to end? Room Raiders, that was it.
No.
Yeah, no, I can't. No, I can't imagine the results if you went in Room Raiders Emerson's room as a lad growing up. Just how devastatingly gross that experience would have been. That being said, the other thing I worry about with this situation is the propensity for people to do crimes, like very dimly lit baseball stadium.
Oh,
I'm not encouraging this for anybody, but it seems like an opportunity for crime.
I am stealing every glizzy from the hot dog guy going up and down the aisle. Just reach my hand right up.
Yeah, if you were to, if you wear all black, I mean, just wear all black. I mean, you could basically not be seen at all. What? That's where you're thinking, Mike? That's where your mind went on this innovative game?
Yeah, after he went to the black light in the bedroom thing. Yeah, that's your son.
Yeah.
He's disgusting.
Smut and crime. Wow. That's where we're at this point in the show here. That's what you guys have beaten me down. Listen, I've been playing Hurt all day today. I got to go and get my blood drawn after this. I've been fasting all morning. I haven't been able to have coffee. Mm. It's early out here in Los Angeles. I didn't ask for any of this. Shout out to Stu Gotts. Congratulations. Stu Gotts got a book coming out, his personal record book. Dan Stanzik actually did all the work on that. Spoiler alert. I might have a chapter in that book.
Whoa!
You guys should buy it and check it out and find out for yourselves because I might now officially be an author.
Yes!
How about that? Anyway,
kick-ass.
This is my life right now. Shamelessly.
I know an author.
You know what? Much like these people are getting promoted, a great promotion out of the $100,000 that they spent on this blacklight technology that they're for sure going to recoup in the promotion they're already receiving for this event. I am receiving absolutely nothing for promoting this book from Stu Gotts. I don't think I'm getting a cut of any of this. I just had to give him my time and energy, and he likely did nothing throughout this entire process. So speaking of working very hard or not at all, let's get to the third Emerson.
Yeah.
Everyone is now becoming very invested in NBA rights negotiations because of what this potentially means for America's favorite studio show inside the NBA.
Yeah, so inside the NBA could end after next season, right? If TNT loses NBA rights and cast members, we got to figure out like what they're going to be doing. So I think if TNT loses the NBA, Ernie, who is just an American sweetheart, I believe says he would stay, and then Barkley would opt out. I think he has a clause in his contract he could opt out if there is no NBA, which kind of brings to my mind, you know, when he flirted with Liv a little bit there, like last year, and then decided to stay with TNT. But yeah, this would be wild to see this group break up, man.
Yeah, Dad, this would be devastating, and everyone's talked about it. You know, Charles Barkley signed that deal more recently than everyone else. He kind of knew this is a possibility, and so that's why the clause is in there. But I still think this is a show where the whole is better than the sum of its parts. Even if Charles Barkley would be wildly successful elsewhere on his own, Ernie is the straight man, the straw stirring the drink in this group of guys. Every highlight you see is so benefited by Ernie's presence there and guiding hand that it would make me really freaking sad if the NBA broke this up.
Well, I mean, to me, if NBC is going to spend billions on this, you spend the money to get those guys over there. And Barkley did a really smart thing. As he said, I'm in a great position. He said, I love TNT. They've been great to me. I wanted to make sure that if they lost the NBA in 2 years, I could be a free agent. That's a smart move. Now, with Ernie, there are other things he can do at TNT, but NBA's gone. Barkley, Shaq, and Kenny Smith, there's not going to be. So you would hope that they would bring that, and I wish Ernie would go with them, but you would hope that they would sign that entire team and just bring them right over to NBC. That, to me, would be the best way to go.
You write the biggest number on the piece of paper and you slide it across the table to Ernie and you say, you sure about that, bud? And then you see if he budges, because we all need this. And so Turner, do the right thing. TNT, do the right thing. And if not, somebody else, keep the family together. We're keeping the family together right here. If you like that, download, subscribe, rate, and review us. Leave us a 5-star rating. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.